brought to you by Penguin.
The Bill Gates Problem: Reckoning with the Myth of the Good Billionaire by Tim Schwab. Read by the author.
Prologue. This is a difficult book to write because it is about a difficult man, one of the world's richest men, and one of the most deeply secretive. Bill Gates did not respond to multiple interview requests for this book, nor did anyone at the Gates Foundation ever agree to an interview at any point in my reporting on the Foundation. Even before I published my first article on Gates in early 2020, or established myself as a journalist who would report on the Gates Foundation as a structure of power, not an unimpeachable charity, the Foundation refused to sit for any interviews. As I published my investigations in The Nation, the British Medical Journal, and Columbia Journalism Review, the Gates Foundation always assumed a posture of non-engagement. This silent treatment isn't unique to me. The Foundation, as a rule, does not put itself or its leaders in a position where they might be pushed to explain contradictions in its work or forced to answer critical questions. Like any powerful organization, the $54 billion Gates Foundation engages with the media on its own terms. At the same time, because so many people and institutions today depend on Gates' charitable dollars, many sources are reluctant to speak out for fear of professional consequences. You will find many unnamed sources in this book, and you should not doubt the reasons for their having requested anonymity. It would be suicidal for someone who wants a grant to come out and publicly criticize the Foundation, Mark Kane, a former head of Gates' vaccine work, noted in 2008. The Gates Foundation is very sensitive to PR. I also want to state up front why Melinda French Gates does not appear on an equal footing with Bill Gates in this book. It's because she is not an equal to Bill Gates at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I know this to be true because I've spoken to Foundation staff who have made clear that Bill Gates is the alpha and the omega. And I know this because the Foundation itself announced it in 2021. Following the Gates' divorce, the Foundation reported that Melinda, not Bill, would step down from the Foundation after a 2-year trial period if they could not agree to a power-sharing agreement. It is Bill Gates' vast fortune from Microsoft that funds the Foundation, and it is Bill Gates who ultimately is in charge of how the money is spent. This is not to say that Melinda doesn't have a very powerful voice or major impact on the Foundation, and I do profile her work throughout the book. Finally, one note on language. Technically speaking, the Gates Foundation is incorporated under tax rules as a private foundation. I use this term throughout the book, but I also refer to the Gates Foundation as a philanthropy and a charity. Introduction. You might not recognize the name Paul Allen. Allen was a vital spark plug who helped ignite the corporate engine of what became one of the most influential companies in the world, Microsoft. And for a time, he was both the business partner and the best friend of one of the most powerful men to ever walk the earth. The name William Henry Gates III you also may not immediately recognize. It's a grand name befitting a man who comes from generational wealth and privilege, a man born on third base. Bill Gates' mother came from a well-to-do banking family, and his father was a prominent lawyer in Seattle. As Gates described his upbringing, it was, "Okay, this is the governor coming to dinner, or here is this political campaign, let's get involved in this." The family's network of influence afforded Gates unusual opportunities growing up, like serving as a page in both the Washington State Legislature and the U.S. Congress. Paul Allen, by contrast, was a middle-class son of a librarian. His family had to make sacrifices to get him into Seattle's most elite private school, Lakeside, where he befriended Bill Gates.
I was thrown into a
Sample complete. Ready to continue?